Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It all started at 3 in the morning. This was something I had to deal with back around 1998. I just moved out from my parents' home, and finally, I had a place all for myself in a quiet suburb. I was fresh out of college, and I was working for a bank. Now, this isn't important, but what is important was what was about to start happening. Now, to give you a quick rundown of my neighborhood, it's pretty much this old road with a series of homes on each side. At the end, you have my home, where right behind it, there's a huge field. It's here there's a fence line at the end that separates us from a large set of woods. Also of note is my home is one story. Anyways, I remember one evening, it was around 3 in the morning, and I was playing Super Mario 64. It had just come out a week before, and finally I had a weekend to get to it. While playing, I started to get the urge to get a snack from the kitchen. So, I paused the game, and I head over from my room to the kitchen, and all was normal. There was a light rain hitting the windows, and I could hear the sound of crickets outside. Now I grab my usual combination of milk and cookies, and I start to make my way back to the room. Here's the thing. One step out of the kitchen, I hear something fall over. This was followed by what sounded like footsteps on my back porch. Instantly, I got the chills and actually spilled the milk on the ground. Nervously, I turn around and I look at the window. Through the curtains, I was able to see the outline of somebody standing there. It scared me so much, I grab one of the knives and slowly walk up to the window. Like a scene out of a movie, I open it up, and there is a man in a hoodie standing right there with a creepy grin on his face.
Excuse me, sir, but did you need something? What's the deal?
He doesn't say anything at first. He just stares into my eyes, almost as if he was planning something.
I just wanted to come inside and say hello. I'm one of the neighbors. Can I come in and talk with you?
Here's something I forgot to mention. I just moved here about a month ago. Though I didn't know the neighbors that well, I knew one thing for sure. This guy looked nothing like everyone else. For one, he looked homeless, and second, his clothing was torn and it looked dirty.
I'm sorry, but now isn't a good time. It's 3 in the morning and I need to go to bed.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, seeing as nothing like this has ever happened to me. He apologizes and he walks off into the night. Definitely weird. But as a precaution, I called the police department and I reported the incident. They wanted to know if I wanted an officer to come out. I told them it was okay. Yeah, I know. Dumb mistake. So, fast forward a week or so and no more incidents had occurred. I figured it was a one-time deal and it wouldn't happen again. It was now around 8 p.m. and I was returning from doing some grocery shopping. As I approached my home, I was able to see movement by my front porch. As my headlights illuminate the area in front of me, there is once again someone with a hoodie, and they're seemingly trying to open my window. This person instantly turns back at me, and one look at his face reveals the same man who had shown up a week prior. He then runs off into my backyard. I now give chase, but by the time I catch up, they're at the fence line and they're heading into the woods. Almost immediately, I call for the police and they show up. Unfortunately, after doing a thorough search and talking with the neighbors, they came up empty-handed. They did tell me they would have an officer patrol extra for the next couple of nights, though. Those extra nights come and go, and once again, all returns to normal. Fast forward 3 months, and I hadn't seen them. Since then, I'd installed cameras around my property, and I even had a security system put in place. One evening in December, around 10 p.m., I just finished taking a shower, and that's when I heard what sounded like tapping on my front door. I grab a towel, and I now head over to look through the window. Here's the thing. By the time I reach it, it's nothing but the empty night. It did make me paranoid, so I go over to check the camera monitor in my room. There's nothing. Rewinding the footage, however, revealed something creepy. About 10 minutes before I heard the sounds, the footage shows somebody stumbling around my backyard with what appears to be like a crowbar. They were swinging it around and breaking some of my ornaments. Now, since I was in the shower and I had my music on, I didn't hear any of it. This was when things were about to get even more scary. Since I had the monitors in my room, I was nowhere near the next source of noise. Suddenly, a loud crash is heard from what I assumed was the kitchen. I froze, and time seemed to have went still. That's when I heard footsteps echo through my home. That was followed by somebody yelling incoherently. I was so frozen with fear, and immediately I locked my door and I pushed some furniture in front of it. All the meanwhile, somebody's going completely crazy, calling out for me, saying I'd be sorry. I was confused, but I got on the phone and called for help anyways. While on the phone, I began to hear something hitting my bedroom door.
Come on, I know you're in there, girl. Remember, you did this to yourself.
I told the dispatcher to hurry, but that's when I remembered something. My dad had given me his double barrel a couple of months ago, and sure enough, it was still underneath my bed. The dispatcher now tells me that if I want to use it, I'd have to wait until he breaks into my room. But trust me, lady, there's no need to tell me otherwise. But what do you know, he's able to make a small opening through the door. I can just barely see him. I'm now pointing this bad boy at him. I'm daring him to make his way further. This dude literally stops in his tracks and he runs out of the house. I now give him chase and he's running off into the woods. And finally, officers arrive 10 minutes later and we go and check the footage. It's hard to see him at first, but I more or less had a visual idea on how he looked like. Long brown hair, a light stubble, about 5'9", 210 pounds, with a small scar on his right cheek. Anyways, after a few days, they call me over to the police station, where they have me look at a lineup. Thankfully, I was able to pick him out pretty easily, and eventually the guy tells us it was him. As it turned out, he had quite the history to him, and he had just been released a little under a year ago. After that, I never heard anything more, and things settled down soon thereafter. A few summers ago, after I had just turned 18 years old, a friend had invited me and some other friends to their family's second home in Wine Country. I was super excited and had agreed to meet my friends at a semi-distant subway, the BART system, the Bay Area Rapid Transit Station. Since it was only a weekend trip, I had all my stuff in a backpack and my sleeping bag hooked onto the backpack as well. I am pretty sure that because of that, many people mistook me for a female vagrant and thus more approachable, or maybe even more vulnerable in that sense. Indeed, that subway trip alone had more weird encounters than ever before. That same trip I got hit on by a man that was 3 times my age, and screamed at by a homeless man who was asking for the time. However, by far the weirdest encounter that day, and probably in my life, was when the bearded woman in an open-backed hospital gown and hospital bracelet approached me. Now, I don't like to think of myself as discriminatory towards people with mental illness issues, as most of my friends are depressed in some form or fashion. Yet when that woman in a hospital gown and plastic hospital bracelet approached me, my mind went straight to all those horror films about people escaping from insane asylums, which turned out not to be too far from the truth. To give a bit more detail on the woman, she was physically intimidating due to her very large and wide stature. She was at least 6 inches taller than me, and weighed a good 70 pounds more. And perhaps most memorable of all,
She had a large amount of sparse, patchy, and wiry facial hair. When she started to approach me, I desperately looked down at my phone and tried to pretend I was anywhere else but on that train platform, hoping that she wasn't actually heading toward me. That, of course, did nothing, and she sat right next to me. She first asked me if she could borrow my phone. I really didn't want to let this person borrow my phone, however, as not only did I need it to save battery to the rendezvous with my friends, but there had recently been a string of cell phone thefts on the BART system. I was not about to let mine get stolen, so I gave her some excuse about my battery, hoping that she would leave me alone. Unfortunately, my refusal was not a deterrent. She took that as a cue to strike up a conversation. She asked if I was traveling, picking up on my large backpack and sleeping bag, and I said yes, but was trying to be as vague as possible. Then she asks where I'm going, and as I did not know how to deflect her, and being too deeply uncomfortable to lie, I said the truth, Napa. She then proceeds to tell me how she had gotten locked up at a psychiatric facility in Napa, after she had beat her husband with a phone receiver after he had threatened her. Feeling very glad that I had not given her my phone, I tried to defuse the situation by sympathizing with her over her awful ex-husband. That prolongs the conversation, and she asked me again to borrow my phone so that she could show me a website called World's Best Gore Vids. Apparently, there is a particular video she was a fan of, a graphic video of a man getting his head run over by a tank. Now, I don't know about you, but that is not something I ever want to watch, especially not with a woman who had just admitted to savagely beating someone. Luckily, soon after, my train arrives at the station, and I board it. Unluckily, however, so did she. She kept talking to me during the ride. For my part, I tried to say as little as possible to not seem rude, as well as not to anger her, while also trying to make it perfectly clear that I was not interested in talking to her. She did not pick up this cue, or did not care at all. We eventually parted ways a few stops later, when she got off the train herself. She told me she was meeting her new boyfriend there, and had wanted to call him, which was why she had wanted to borrow my phone to begin with. I just sincerely hope her new man does not have any phone receivers lying around, or he might end up meeting the same demise as the other guy. So, bearded gore-loving lady in a hospital gown, let's not meet. Just want to start out by saying that this story occurs over a couple of years. It has been a long time, and it is really hard for me to type out, because it still makes me very anxious to this very day. Some of the time frames are a bit cloudy for me, so please understand that. When I was 15 or so years old, my mother reconnected with an old crush of hers from her junior high school days, Wayne. Soon after, they started to date. At the time, I thought it was pretty cool because I actually went to school with his son, same grade as I was. His name is Brandon. He had two other kids as well, both younger, James and Allie. I didn't actually see Wayne very much at the beginning, as he and my mom would often go out or hang out at his place. One night, I got a phone call from him sometime close to Christmas, asking what I would like for a gift, which I thought was strange because I barely even know the guy. But I just assumed he was trying to get on my mom's good side. So, whatever. Moving on. He started coming around more, and I remember just something about him sent alarm bells off in my head, like you just wouldn't believe. It just gave me that freaking heebie-jeebies feeling. Anyway, Wayne moved in very soon into their relationship, and I just chalked up my uneasy feelings about him to him and my mom moving too fast in their relationship. Fast forward some time, my mom was working at a liquor store, and I was home alone with Wayne. I can't remember what this was over, but we got into some heated argument. I was young and full of teenage angst, so who knows? Next thing I know, he headbutts me, and I was so shocked, I didn't even know how to deal. So I told my mom, but nothing happened. Eventually, she managed to convince my mom to quit her job, because he can financially support us. And she had back and knee issues, so she obviously agreed. Then shit really started to get weird. I suddenly got a peeping Tom who would peer into my windows late at night in the summertime. I would notice because I saw someone, or my neighbor would see someone, etc. At one point, someone saw him taking pictures of the inside of my bedroom, not sure if I was home or not. Police were called, but of course they can't do anything if they can't actually catch the guy. Needless to say, I was terrified. To this day, I am so uneasy sleeping if the windows are low. Wayne took action and convinced us he could take care of the family. Such a hero. He convinced my mom to get a security system, which cost a fortune that had to be paid monthly, by the way. He convinced my mom to get a dog, Coda. She was the bomb, just to keep us safe. Oh yeah, and by the way, it turns out that Wayne had hired people to look into my window. In the winter, I could see footsteps all the time that lead to my window. I did not learn that this was him until much, much later. I'm not even sure how he found out. Anyway, he started to get physically abusive with my mom, me, and worst of all, poor little Coda. I used to just hold her and cry because I felt so bad for her. We felt totally trapped financially, and felt scared of whoever this dude was that was peering into my windows at night. We were scared. We were absolutely terrified. One night, Wayne didn't come home. My mom called him over and over and over, and he would not answer his phone. When he did arrive home in the wee hours of the morning, his clothing was ripped. He was dirty as all hell, and he was covered in blood. Wayne claimed he got mugged, and not long after this incident, freaking homicide detective showed up to my house. He pushes me away and tells me he will speak with them in private. Upon his return, he comes up with some story about it had to do with a neighbor of ours going missing. They were just doing door-to-door checks looking for any information, and that they won't be returning, and there is no need to worry about it. A couple of weeks after this, there was a truck that was found abandoned, and inside, they found a body. There was a murder. The accused turned out to be a neighbor of mine, but honestly, it has never been proven. But there is no doubt in my mind that Wayne had something to do with it. Ah, and here's where we learn that Wayne has a crack addiction. He was a huge dude. You'd never guess by looking at him that he had an addiction to drugs. Hence why it took so long to figure out. It all came to head one night. He and my mother started arguing. I heard a banging coming from the bedroom, and I went running to save my mother. I found my mother huddled into a corner in their tiny-ass bathroom, and him on top of her, beating her. I screamed and grabbed at him, begging him to stop. He then turned on me, grabbing me by my neck, pushing me up against a wall by my neck, and punched the wall directly beside my face. He then let me go, and I went running. Turns out he had purchased an old-timey battle axe that had happened to be sharpened, and it hung on our wall. He grabbed it and then started chasing us with said axe. I honestly thought that we were going to die. Now, just a note, my mother tried calling the police when they first started arguing, but they didn't come. As Wayne was chasing us with the axe, I had 911 on the phone with me. I was basically screaming, blubbering, and begging for them to arrive. In this whole mess, I don't know how he stopped, or why, but he just left. Once the cops got there, he was gone. He would get caught, and eventually he was charged. We, of course, got summoned to testify in court, and my poor mom was too scared to testify, so she refused. We still had to go to the court, though. We saw him in the courthouse, and he gave my mom and I the most sinister grin that I've ever seen. Anyway, he was pleased with himself, to say the least. He felt no remorse at all. So, honestly, Wayne, I hope I am never so unlucky that I have to see you ever again.